Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Anatula.
That's right. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Anatula, hanging out with you. Appreciate you rolling with us. You can text in always, 713-572-4610, where we got this gem. B-Scott was praising the work of Kyemi Fairbairn last hour. 346 said Kyemi Fairbairn could work remotely from home and still make it.
He probably could. Just practice his kicking at home. Show up. I'm good. I'm ready. I
mean, you talk about showing up. He could probably
stay
kick
at
the
home.
Crib.
Yeah.
Just hit him up on the Zoom. Hey, we need you to kick this one. All right, I got you.
Oh, kick it from home.
Yeah, it's coming in. It's coming in soon. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Right between the uprights. All right, man. Let's talk about this, because one of the things that you mentioned almost in passing during the course of this show earlier is that, you know, we know that offense is down in the NFL. And I do want to acknowledge, before we even get into all of the numbers and facts and figures of this, that I get it, right? Like, the start of a season, particularly in this new era of NFL where we, you know, through collective bargaining, there's less practice time in the off season. There's less of a preseason itself. Training camp and those things are kind of restrained when it comes to the amount of time and the amount of number of practices that you can actually have the physicality, and that affects the way that an offense goes. But even with that being the case, right, because that is not brand new to this year.
Yeah.
We are seeing some trends that look like not only is offense down, but offense is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I mean by that? It might be time to establish the run in the NFL. And I saw this last week. And this is, kind of some data that is, you know, assembled by, and I guess in this instance, it was put together by Jay Grossman that put it out. And if you look at when it comes to the EPA, expected points added per in a particular play, the average passing situation has always been higher than the average run situation.
Mm-hmm.
This year, in week one, those graphs flipped in a way that they had never before. And I want you to see this, right?
Look at that.
It's been very clear that when you pass the ball, you are going to get more bang for your proverbial buck, right? With that play, that you are giving yourself more chance to add points to the board.
Mm-hmm.
In week one, that was running, right? Now, there is something to be considered here, is that the quarterback scramble adds in there, and that's a very unique situation. So even if you take that away, what you see is they've gotten a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
So even the large disparity in passing versus running that had been there, at least it came and met at a point.
Yeah.
And so I think we're starting to get to a point in this league where you might be seeing the shift back in the eventual pendulum of all things, where we've made it a passing league, and we might possibly be veering back to the point where it is beneficial to run the ball more than teams have been in the recent past.
What's interesting about that is how much of the success of the run is because you have a quarterback that's a real threat throwing the ball. That sounds counterintuitive, but you're saying like it's shifting.
Yes.
Well, is it shifting because this has been every rule is benefiting offenses and quarterbacks? Quarterbacks, you know, are not something that you can really breathe on. The hip drop tackle, which has been big news here lately. Like all these rules and everything is benefiting offenses and specifically quarterbacks. So does that mean you should run the ball more because of those rules?
And
you know, I think that's interesting right there.
Right. And move forward in this, and the 832 is already on the same space, man. We got some of the smartest listeners in the world. 8-2 mentions defenses have caught up to all these high-flying offenses using two high safeties way more often than they used to. And that's part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of the expected points added, some part of the efficiency of throwing the football is you're going to get chunk plays. You're going to be able to get these big plays. And teams, we saw this with Patrick Mahomes. We're seeing this with various other teams, right? With the Vic Fangio defense, when that came in, the two high shell.
Yeah.
Right? The idea that, hey, man, what we're going to do is we're just going to say, completion percentage be damned. What we're not going to allow you to do is throw the ball over the top of our safety.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And get big yardage. And so we're going to play back. If you want to throw the ball underneath, we'll rally and tackle. We'll swarm, in the words of D'Amico Ryans, and we'll make you be perfect more times than not. And in the time that you're imperfect, maybe we break on the ball and turn the ball over.
I totally agree.
Maybe we keep you ahead of the sticks one of the times to turn the ball over on downs or force you to punt in that situation. And I think that now that brings the overwhelming, or what had previously been the overwhelming benefit analytically, statistically, of passing a little bit back closer. Plus, because of all that, what do we talk about with base defense? Base defense is really a sub package now.
Yeah.
Your real base defense is nickel football, right? Mm-hmm. Four down, two linebackers, five defensive secondary players. And what is that? A smaller package of players, less players in the box oftentimes. And when you have light boxes, just generally speaking, football-wise, what are you doing?
I like this conversation because basically what the texter is saying, what I'm saying is defensive coordinators hate getting embarrassed. They do not want to be embarrassed. They do not want to be, what were you thinking? How could you let that guy get behind you? You know, that's Justin Jefferson over there. That's Nico Collins over there. Don't let those guys beat you. And so what they're doing is they're protecting against that. So is it, hey, it's better to run the ball? Or no, hey, it's better to run the ball because defenses are telling you, we ain't gonna let you beat us with the pass.
Sure. I think that's a good question, but it feels like a difference without a distinction.
Yeah, no matter how you got there, you're still here.
Or a distinction without a difference.
No matter how we got here, we're still here.
Right. And so I do wonder, and that what brought me back to these Texans in some of these ways, and yes, 281 said, do these numbers count for quarterback runs? In some ways, yes, right? I think that's what I was talking about, where the shift in EPA, where it actually has been in week one, small sample. I want to make sure I plaster that all over this, right? In week one, it was more efficient to run the football than pass the football, but that was because you were accounting for quarterback runs. When you took quarterback runs and scrambles particularly out of that, I think that also brought this to
evening.
A point where they were even out. But when you're talking about quarterback runs, I just realized you might not be talking about scrambles. You might be talking about design runs, which is another reason why I think the run has become more beneficial. No longer are you playing offense 10 versus 11 in that instance, where in the past, with a run situation, you have your quarterback putting the ball in the chest or in the stomach, rather, of running back and getting the hell out of there because we can't afford to waste you and have you get hurt. Nowadays, the running quarterback and the zone reads, the quarterback draws, like all of these things, the RPOs, all of these things have brought the quarterback into the run game, to now the math is shifting, and now you have to account for all 11 of these guys. I think that also helps in advancing the run in some ways. But all those things, you bring them back to the Texans, and this Texans offense, we understand that Joe Mixon is here. They've invested in that way in the running game. But it's geared towards passing the football, and I do wonder if that is going to be something that is going to weigh on the way that this season goes if these trends continue going that way?
And I don't think so, because I was going to bring it back to the Texans this way. I think that, you know, we talk about, you know, confidence in the offense versus confidence in the defense. My confidence in the offense is all about C.J. Stroud. And more specifically, and Figgy, you've heard me say this a million times, the one characteristic, the one trait I want from an NFL quarterback or prospect is accuracy. And so because you have to be so accurate, yeah, these defenses can shut down your passing offense, can make it very, very difficult. C.J. Stroud is incredibly accurate.
Agreed.
We all know that already. The best quarterbacks in the game right now are taking advantage of these. Like no defense. The Kansas City Chiefs are not going to surprise any defense. You know, they're all gonna be catered towards stopping. Whether it's, I know the run, although Pacheco is hurt, but I know the run is still there. But it's because Patrick Mahomes is so accurate and so good on the move as well. Same thing with C.J. Stroud. So I still think, bringing it back to the Texans, yeah, you're going to have to run the ball, but it's going to be ultimately C.J. Stroud's accuracy that separates them.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point to make, because, again, not just only C.J. Stroud's accuracy, but his discipline. And this is where, you know, I don't feel like it's too much of a stretch to then talk about the human being, because sometimes we do the things where we're like, oh, look at all the intangibles, and that, yeah, at that point we're just kind of in some ways filleting ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. But no, for real, like the ways that he is a disciplined young man in a way that just feels well beyond his, yeah, years. But that comes into the way that he plays. You can see the discipline show up. And with that being the case, the errant footballs that you see from some quarterbacks, especially young ones, right? Mm-hmm. The ill-fated decisions, you're not seeing nearly as much of that. And again, what did we talk about with the way the defenses are generally trying to go about you? They're like, we're taking away the big plays. We're forcing you to make the right play over and over and over again and matriculate your way down the field. Well, he is content to be able to do that and capable of doing that consistently. So I think offensively, you're right. I'm not nearly as worried about this team.
How
this
it
Texas
pertains,
team.
Yeah.
And I think the fun thing about this is we look at this from the offensive side. I also think this defense is pretty well situated to handle that shift in offense.
Does
indeed go
I
that way.
I think they built it that way. You know, with all the defensive linemen they brought in, with you know, obviously Al-Shaair coming in, that's to stop the run, man. With Jalen Petrie's position switch,
yes,
Jalen Petrie's position switch is to stop the run. So I think the Texans defensively are positioned very well for this trend, you know, if you can call it that, through 2 weeks. But I also think they're very well positioned because of C.J. Stroud's accuracy. Like we can talk all day, and I think it's right. Kyahmi Fairbairn won these games with his leg. The defense has outplayed the offense, at least in the first 2 weeks. But what were the two biggest plays in scoring drives or clinching drives of the entire season? It's C.J. Stroud's incredibly accurate throw to Nico Collins on the sideline with the defensive back in perfect position, and C.J. Stroud's pass to Nico Collins for the touchdown, and I think more importantly, that pass that I keep going back to when he kind of scrambled away and also threw it to Nico, I believe, on the sideline.
Funny how that keeps happening.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, yes, they have to run the ball. But if you have that guy, and as much as Kyahmi Fairbairn provided us the points, that guy is going to be the difference. It's not going to affect the Texans as much.
To go back to one of the things we were talking about with B. Scott, though, is I do think that is where Bobby Slowick earns his paycheck, mm-hmm, right? Because I do think that now that we're seeing, just in general, again, if you're just joining us, the offensive trends through 1 week, it seems like running the football is becoming a lot more beneficial when we talk about the analytics of it, the efficiency of it, than it had previously been. I think Bobby Slowick, it is now even more of an onus upon him, mm-hmm, to make sure that, hey, we help these guys. We help the offensive line. We help Joe Mixon and whoever else is toting the rock be as efficient as we can be, because there's more now to be gained. There's more there's more meat on the bone, in a way, to be had in running the football.
I do think there's a something of a fly in the ointment here about how it's not pertaining to the Texans. Get well soon, Juice Scruggs, and really get well soon, Joe Mixon. Because then, if you are going to, you still need to run the ball. There's no question about that.
And Bobby has said that is the basis of the way this offense should work.
Yeah, and if Joe Mixon is not there, then you're relying on Cam Akers. And frankly, I think, like, if Joe Mixon can't go on Sunday, who starts at running back?
Ooh.
Who starts at running back if Joe Mixon can't go?
Well, also,
I think we're all thinking it.
We have to also ask, we're all thinking is it. Damian Pierce healthy, right? Because Damian Pierce,
I might be thinking something else than y'all.
No, if Damian,
you're thinking Cam.
I'm assuming Damian Pierce is healthy.
I was going to say Dare, to be honest.
Oh,
yeah. I feel like they trust Dare way more than we think.
No, but as the running back, I'm not hiking my leg on your take there, but as the featured running back in a running game, I think they're going to start Damian Pierce if he's healthy.
And maybe more to your point, who gets the majority of the carries as opposed to like who is out there first.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that if he is healthy, if that hamstring is on the up and up, I think Damian Pierce, because again, they have made it abundantly clear at every given juncture that they trust him and that they're willing to go with him. Now, what would be nice is at least in that instance, he would be splitting time with Cam Akers. It does feel like they would balance that out a decent amount because it feels like they trust Cam to a certain degree.
Well, that's when this trend really hits home.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't have Joe Mixon for a week or two or whatever it is, and you're starting Damian Pierce, I'm not feeling real good.
And see, that was always the issue. We talked about that during training camp. Mm-hmm. Like, we were so focused on Damian Pierce, and I was too. But I'm like, everything would have been fine if Joe Mixon was healthy the whole time.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a time like this, now we like, maybe you should have took that RB2 a little more serious.
So, yeah, I just found that to be an interesting trend in offense. Now, some other stats that are happening, just to let you know that offense is indeed down early. Through the first 2 weeks of the season, offensive 20-plus yard plays, right, on offense.
Yeah.
Lowest that they've been at least since 2015, right, lowest over the past 10 seasons. Sack rate up quite a bit. 7.8%, which is more than the last five seasons in week one, which that's something interesting to watch because we trust CJ to escape those things. But if the pass pro isn't the way, it doesn't get better, you're going to have to watch teams try and apply that pressure to CJ. But yeah, just again, I think that that's going to be interesting. But the thing that I think I felt great about is that when I looked at the way that this trend is going and when we talked through it, the Texans are situated well to be able to handle that.
Oh, I think they absolutely are. Mostly because of number seven and a lot because of Joe Mixon. And by the way, just as an update for those who may not know, I guess last night somebody reported, I believe it was Aaron Wilson, reported that the results of the MRI were not something that made it seem like long-term with Joe Mixon. But D'Amico Ryans did say they're playing it day by day, day to day.
He sure did. And day to day is better than week to week. I'll tell you that for damn sure. But yeah, next week when you have the Vikings in Minnesota, especially with the way that that Brian Flores defense operates, I'd love to have Joe Mixon in tow. But there you go. Kind of a potential offensive shift in offense in the NFL. Again, really early on to try and make large sweeping assumptions about the way it goes. But definitely caught my eye when I saw that. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about time to get you our lunchtime confessions. We'll do.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do just that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Watch this. These are my confessions. You know, one thing I'm not a big fan of is when someone demands an apology. Like, oh, I demand an apology.
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay, well, I mean, a lot of times people say, sorry.
Right. Did that give you...
Apology. I have never cheated in my life.
I think apologies should be like, you're sincerely, not because someone tells you to apologize.
Yeah,
I,
like, do it make it better?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
do you feel better after that?
What did you gain from this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I say all that to say this. I don't demand an apology, but for you and Figgy, I think you should be thanking me.
Oh.
I think you should be thanking me. And there's a reason for that. You guys know
spitting on somebody.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You should be kissing my feet.
I think you should be thanking me. And I say that knowing that it probably is not landing very well. But I do think, like, as much as I have a very limited, I think probably better than most people my age, but still very limited knowledge of rap and hip hop and all that. Y'all should be thanking me for this 45 years ago today. 45 years ago.
You were in the
today.
Sugar Hill Gang?
What, you made this
I was in the
something?
Sugar Hill Gang.
Congratulations.
No. It's my people, my generation.
Why we got to thank you?
Yeah, why are we thanking you for? What did you do?
Because I'm in that generation, 1979.
You didn't do nothing.
I danced.
He coming in on the group project. He coming in on a group project. Hey, put my name at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm doing. But we get, you know, the Sugar Hill Gang and the impetus for everything we are hearing now, everything we saw at halftime of the Texans game started right there, man. I remember watching them on Soul Train. Oh, man, that Sugar Hill Gang was something. Those are my people. That's my generation, man.
I guess you could say, like, the commercial viability started in that place, right?
First number one rap song.
Hip-hop, it started
hip-hop,
out
hip-hop, whatever you want, the first one ever. And really one of the first ever, literally. But they were...
Yeah.
I still have that on my playlist. Sugar Hill Gang? Come on now.
Shout out to Sugar Hill Gang, even though they definitely ripped a whole bunch of them rhymes.
Well, who doesn't? Like, listen to our intro.
That's where it started.
Have you heard our intro?
Yeah, fair enough. Touché. All right, so Nico Collins is very good at football.
He is.
That's known. That's not the confession. That'd be a really weak confession. After another instance of him being really good at football on Sunday Night Football, you know, he was in the locker room talking to media, as one does. And he said this, quote, so speaking about like kind of the scramble drill.
Okay.
He seems to have a great rapport with CJ Stroud on. Quote, we work on those every day as an offense. Just boom, scramble drill. Okay, boom, find the open space. I feel like it's just what we do. We out here hooping.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, hold that.
Okay.
Hey, we using hooping unilaterally in every sport. And for any of y'all that were like, no, hooping's just for basketball. Tell Nico Collins. Are you with Nico Collins about
it? Yeah. That's a Reggie Atatula special every Monday.
Who hooped?
Who hooped?
Who hooped? How about that? I'll give you credit.
It wasn't even really a confession. I just wanted to say that.
I'll give you credit for that if you give me credit for the Sugar Hill gang.
I don't like this trade. But okay. Thank you, Lopez, for the Sugar Hill gang. Watch this.
So I saw yesterday that Young Miami of the City Girls was at the Texans game. Mm-hmm. She was there Sunday Night Football, and I got to confess, man, I love that girl, man. I wish I could have seen her in person, just at the game.
Okay, this is where my limited knowledge comes.
Yeah,
in.
You ain't gonna know who she is, but she was part of the rap group. I don't think they're a rap group now, but
no, City Girls.
Yeah, City Girls. I got a thing for Young Miami, but also I got to confess, man, I wonder what she was doing at the game. Who is she dating?
Yeah.
Oh,
who is she dating?
There you go.
That was my thought when I saw.
I think
not gonna
that's
lie.
What it is.
I don't know if that makes me. I don't know what that makes me or what that
I
says
think
about
that
me.
Makes you human. But, I think that's fair.
I wanna investigate this, man. I wonder how would you feel if she was dating C.J. Stroud?
Oh, okay. I hadn't even gone for what you were going there.
Who is it again? Tell me the name.
Young Y-U-N-G Miami.
Okay. I'll tell you in a second. I wouldn't feel too bad.
Oh, all he needed was the picture.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, I'm not doing any further research. Hell. Open and shut case.
Yeah, yes. You don't know anything about this girl.
Is she controversial?
How do you explain this, Fig?
Is she, loose?
Oh, wow. That was not quite.
I'll put it this way. She was in a relationship with Diddy recently.
Okay. Is that points for or points against?
I mean, you know that Diddy just got hemmed up by the feds, right?
Well, there is that. Yeah. There is that. Y'all going to have to say more than that because I'm lost on why y'all are saying that.
I mean, she was a female rapper.
Yeah.
Still
not helping.
I don't really know how to say the things that I feel like I want to say.
Text board will say them.
I'd rather err on the side
because
of caution.
Because I feel like she don't have any public bodies on her like that. It's not like an Amber Rose situation where you could go down a laundry list.
Mm-hmm. So what's the hesitation? Texters, they're too cowardly to say it.
That's right. Tell me.
What did she do?
I would be fine with it, but if you listen to her music, she kind of come across as like a...
Is the heathen the word that you're using?
I was going to say scammer.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Oh, she's a scammer.
Yeah. Possibly. I mean, allegedly. but 281, they said they don't think Stroud's getting down like that. He's a good Christian boy, which, I mean.
Yeah, he just took Amber Rose back to the hotel. No big deal.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Okay.
That's it. She just needed a ride.
Yeah.
We've been there, done that.
Houston doesn't have Uber anymore. Uber Black.
He's just being the gentleman.
You missed it. They banned it. Yeah.
I just need a ride.
Yes, you do.
All right, so I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Okay.
So Peyton Manning reacted to Saquon Barkley dropping his third down pass last night like a gambler that had a lot of money on the game.
There they all play.
Oh.
I know. Oh.
Ooh. Oh!
Wow!
Wait for Peyton.
He listened. Jalen watched what Matt Ryan said. He said, "I'm running that play again. I'm going to give him the perfect throw, front shoulder, like Matt said, get it out in front."
Wow! Wow!
It's why you don't throw.
It is why you don't throw. But
man, by the way, the visual is he stood up and slammed his chair back, ran to the back of the room and with his back turned. This is on live national television, and then turned around with this look of complete exasperation on his face. That is how a gambler looks when they lose a bet.
You're accusing him of the depravity sports gambling?
I'm saying that is how a gambler looks. That's how I've looked when they lose a bet.
That's just a good man who loves him some
loves
football.
Football.
Just passionate about the game.
Super passionate
Come
about
on,
passionate.
Man. What do you think? 50? 20,000 on that game?
He ain't gambling that. I mean, I know he's a rich man.
He endorses Caesar Sportsbook.
No, I know he's a rich man.
He's big rich. Like, in a way that I think is kind of funny that we don't necessarily think about. Or yeah. I guess it seems like people don't think about a lot. Nah, he's and they've come from money. It's not just
Oh, yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
And he endorses Caesar Sportsbook. I'm just saying, that looked like a guy that lost a bet.
Nah, he just loves football. It means something to him. Watch this. These are my confessions. This audio came out on Sunday from the Broncos, Bo Nix, quarterback of the Broncos, and also previously was a 17-year quarterback in the in college football.
17.
He was asked about an interception that he threw, and this was the detailed explanation he gave.
Bo, can you take us through the interception in the end zone?
Yeah. Drop back, threw it to the other team.
That was it.
Threw it to the other guys. Oh, thank you for taking us through the interception.
My confession is I hate that question. And I hate a lot of questions.
Oh, to take us through?
I hate questions that aren't questions. It's really my confession.
Talk about.
That's
Lopez's
started.
Favorite one.
Sends me up a wall.
That is
Lopez always. Talk about.
That's a trigger.
And so.
Talk about. You went to school, dude. Like, ask a question.
So, yeah, man. That's
talk
my.
Talk about the offense.
Because, like, I think. We've gotten to a place where players, coaches, everybody, they know what you're trying to get to, so people will answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
But in all reality, if somebody does what Bo Nix did there,
yeah,
fair play. Because that was what you set him up for. You did not ask him a question that led him to a place to give you
an
answer. And so,
it's
a
trigger.
Not
as bad as talk about, but it's a trigger.
Yeah. So, in your face. Hold on. Watch this. These are my confessions.
You got it?
Oh, I was like, wait.
I pulled the Lopez. Man, my mama crazy, man.
What?
Your mama's crazy?
So yesterday she called me. So I was downstairs. I got to work. I was getting a little energy drink. And I was about to pay for it with Apple Pay.
Mm-hmm.
But she kept FaceTiming me. So I kept hitting ignore so I could pay for my energy drink. And she called me like 3 times in a row. So I finally paid and I was walking out. She called again, FaceTime me again. And I answered it. I'm like, Mom, I'm going to call you when I get to my desk. I'm about to get on the elevator. She was like, yeah, call me as soon as you get there. And I text you something. It's something about your auntie.
Uh-oh.
Her sister.
Uh-oh.
So my heart dropped.
Yeah.
She was like, look at your text message. It's about her. I'm like, all right. So my heart dropped. I'm thinking the worst.
Yeah.
She sent me a picture. It was, I guess, what's funny is my mom not even on Facebook, but it was a clear post of my auntie from Facebook pretty much saying she trying to sell all her stuff out of her house and some unfortunate stuff happened. So I'm like, what is this? And so I called. She like, yeah, I don't know what she doing or what she going through.
Oh, she just wanted to gossip?
Oh,
yeah.
Come on, man.
I'm like, Mom, this could have waited. You called me 4 times in a row for this? I'm like,
Mom.
And look, my mom is older now. She about to be 70 this year. And I be worried every time my mom called a couple times in a row like that.
No, of course.
I be thinking somebody died, something happened. And for that, I'm like, Mom, I'm like, you got to do better than that. Like, that could have waited.
You know what? Here's breaking news. She won't.
Yeah.
She's too set.
It's getting worse.
She's too set. She feels compelled to call you. She calls you.
It's getting worse. She do all that just to gossip.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is crazy.
Yeah, Lopez, since you want to go ahead and take credit for the Sugar Hill Gang, you're also going to take responsibility for this. Why y'all people be texting us like, call me, period,
hey,
as
not
if
me.
You don't know that makes us think,
not
oh,
me.
Something bad happened. You just wanted to gossip.
Hand to God, not me.
That was the longest elevator ride of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there like, man, I wouldn't get no service in the elevator, so I ain't know what was going on. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, I thought something happened, like something serious happened.
Yeah.
Something did happen. There was a post.
She's selling her stuff.
That needed to be gossiped.
And she don't know what's going on with her. I'm like, man, she is fine.
She is fine. Oh, Lord.
Goodness gracious.
You got one more? You good, Lopez?
Although 713 says Young Miami is a hood girl.
That is
that's
accurate.
True.
That is accurate.
That's true.
Let me get one more in.
Yeah. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I will once again confess, like I did at the start of the show, My bad. I came in too negative on a victory.
Oh, you know what? We could get over it, man. That is not true. It was a good discussion. It was a good discussion.
What was negative?
He was like, what was your biggest gripe yesterday?
I felt like the offense and the run game was not at the level, and it was odd to come in with not the vibes of a conquering victor. And I probably should have saved that for Tay.
Yeah.
My bad, y'all.
Nah, you was good, man. No, that's good stuff right there, man.
Yeah, it was good. That's what we're here for.
Okay. All right. I'm still going to make sure I apologize to the people. All right. That's our Lunchtime Confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Thanks for hanging out with us. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's do a thing that I don't think we did last week, but make sure to do it this week. College football on a Tuesday. Let's go back, revisit some of the fantastic things that we saw from this weekend in college football. We'll do it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. We're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula. Hope you're having a lovely Tuesday thus far. Let's get into some college football on this Tuesday. Interesting week. I know that you came into the weekend of college football not necessarily super impressed by the slate.
No, I wasn't. There weren't a whole lot of big time, you know, must see type games. But boy, there ended up being some interesting things happening over the weekend.
And I love interesting as a word because sometimes it's used to mean good and sometimes it's definitely not. Let's start with one of the times where it was definitely good and it was kind of an expected outcome, but not necessarily in the way that it happened. Texas 56, UTSA 7. The University of Texas rolls, but also Arch Manning steps into this one. Quinn Ewers, who was obviously the guy out there, he ultimately gets injured. He had, an elbow injury?
It was, It wasn't an elbow.
Why did I go there? But I had that, he suffered an injury on a pass to tight end in the second quarter.
It was a rib or something?
Stayed in for a play. Non-contact injury, actually. Yeah. And then he ultimately went to the locker room and returned to the sideline in street clothes before halftime, which made room for Arch Manning to step in.
Give him the Heisman.
Arch Manning, 9 for 12. 213, 4 touchdowns, and 1 sack. And then he also carried the ball 2 times for 63 yards, including just a big, big run that happened pretty much first play in, if I remember correctly. And, yeah, man, you say give him the Heisman. Feinbaum feels
that's
the same.
That's what Paul Feinbaum
Paul Feinbaum feels the same. We don't need to hear him, but you get
that boy
it.
Fast, too.
21.7 miles an hour. That's 20.7.
Never
something
seen
like
a
that
man run that fast.
No, well, unless you were Cooper, right? Unless you're Cooper. Cooper has the speed to him.
Yeah.
Peyton and Eli, not so much. But, yeah, Feinbaum, what he did say, to be very clear, I don't want to, you know, misrepresent him, that he will win a Heisman at some point in his college career, unlike his uncles. I could see that, but I still feel like Quinn Ewers is in that place to have a lot of love. And the University of Texas Longhorns do what they're supposed to do, be one of their sister schools in the UT system. But they also move up to number one in the AP poll with a big-time win and continue to prove that Arch Manning, when he gets his time, he's going to be a problem.
And he definitely has, they definitely have earned it. By the way, oblique muscle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Non-contact oblique muscle for Quinn Ewers.
Where did I get elbow from?
I knew it was something like that. But look, man, Arch, there is no quarterback controversy at Texas because they're both awesome, you know. But I did have a question as I walked away, you know, because Ewers has the injury. It's not just performance, you know, based, but the performance has an impact. Will Arch or Quinn Ewers start the majority of games the rest of the way?
Oh, it'd be Quinn. I know that you have the injury with Ewers.
Mm-hmm.
I think once he's back, he's going to go back to being starting, and I can't imagine that he misses a ton of time. But I guess when you start talking about those core injuries, those
that's what I'm
that
talking
in,
about
in the trunk. Yeah, you have to ask those questions, but I still think that Quinn Ewers will make his way back.
I think he would when healthy, but I think the injury matters, especially if there's any question at all. If it's 2 or 3 weeks and Arch starts, again, I'm not even going there. I just think it's a matter of, like, we have this amazing option. You know, let's make sure Quinn Ewers is healthy, and then who knows if they're going to continue on this role.
Yeah, man, good for Texas, like, continuing to roll, because they remember, before the season started, they had quite a few injuries that they dealt with the running backs, now quarterback, and it all keeps rolling, of course. It'll get really real soon once they actually get into the conference play. But as of right now, when it comes to the in the next 8 games of playing top 7 AP ranked, Texas only has one of those types of matchups.
That's what I was just
compared
about to say.
Oklahoma has five of their next eight against top sevens. Tennessee has six. Ole Miss has five. Or no, all these guys are who Oklahoma's playing, rather.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they don't. I mean, look, they get an SEC play, it'll get real interesting. But it looks like they might be atop the SEC, especially when you consider what Georgia had against Kentucky. They barely escaped a 13-12 victory in a defensive dogfight. Did you get a chance to see any of this game?
You're talking about Georgia?
Georgia, Kentucky.
Absolutely. Well, I tuned in as soon as I saw the score and stayed with it. But I think that's why Texas, with being number one, it is very well deserved. I mean, because Georgia did, you know, had some struggles. Now Kentucky's not awful.
No,
they've got a good defense and they know what they're doing.
This is a kind of an understanding between Mark Stoops and Kirby Smart, is that when these teams get together, they just do this.
Yeah,
right. Kentucky brings the ugly game out of Georgia from time to time. I don't think that this is who Georgia will be. However, there were moments where it did feel like Brock Vandegrift, who was the quarterback for Kentucky previously, was at Georgia. Mm-hmm. They chose, I guess, Carson Beck gets to stay over him. There were times where it looked like, hey, man, Brock Vandegrift might have been the better quarterback in this one.
But,
yeah, ultimately, Georgia gets the win. They keep moving on, and I think that's going to be the big takeaway. But I think it does open up the idea, as it did in the poll, who is at the top of the SEC.
And they will decide it on the field, and when they do, the Longhorns really just have to get through October 19th. They don't have, as SEC schedules go, they don't have that murderer's row like you would expect them to have. They came into the SEC and they are really, really good, and they got really fortunate with their schedule. They have, this week, Louisiana Monroe, then Mississippi State at home. Then they have the Oklahoma game and Georgia back-to-back. And after that, it's really not that daunting for the Longhorns. Vanderbilt, Florida, they stink. Arkansas at Arkansas will be interesting. And again, Kentucky in Austin will be interesting. But if they can get through October 19th, it's a slide until they face the Aggies in the rivalry game on November 30th.
Speaking of the Aggies, did they find something out? Did they figure something out? I know that Connor Wegman was one that got a little bit of ire early on in the season. Marcel Reed steps in. Looks like it looked pretty much a lot better in what was a continual piling of dirt on the Billy Napier tenure at Florida. How'd you feel about your Aggies this week?
The interesting thing about Marcel Reed, I should say impressive thing, not interesting, is he really found out, because Wegman did practice a little bit, or tried to. He found out that he was going to start just a couple hours before the game and then perform like that. I am a Connor Wegman truther. I think he's really good, but he didn't look really good week one. Then slightly better against an overmatched team. So we'll see. But Marcel Reed, I mean, he definitely, and he's going to play again this week, by the way, at least from what I'm hearing. Marcel Reed, a good problem to have, a quarterback like that can step in and perform like that.
Yeah, and the thing that in that game, I want to give A&M their credit, but the thing that was just glaring to me was that Florida came into that game, and not already with all the poor development and program things with Florida, they didn't have a plan for utilizing two quarterbacks. It seemed like they were just kind of throwing a dude out there haphazardly, which just makes me feel like, oh, this thing is all the way done with Billy Napier, Florida, which continues just a crazy slide in that program of just poor runs with coaches. It makes me think it might be the place more than it is like the dudes themselves.
They are an absolute mess. That's why maybe it's not quite as impressive a win. But it was impressive for Marcel Reed, and anytime you go to the Swamp, it's somewhat impressive.
Speaking of a win, shout out to the University of Houston getting a win again over Rice, Bayou Bucket, 33-7.
Got the Bayou Bucket.
That's right.
Figgy, you were there, weren't you?
I wasn't at this one.
I thought you went to this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's big. It's big here.
It's a city thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to make sure to shout out the Cougs getting their first win on the season, even though they got damn close against Oklahoma. All right, how about this? What's the wildest thing you've seen a game cancel for? Because obviously we've seen like kind of rain, lightning.
You're going with this.
College football gave us a very interesting one. Obviously, sickness can happen at times and make things go. Especially we saw during COVID when that definitely popped up. Not quite to that level, but enough to cancel a game. Whooping cough. I don't know how to pronounce that properly. I'm gonna be completely honest. But an outbreak of whooping cough forced Portland State to cancel their game versus South Dakota. it just ravaged the Portland State football team. And so they legitimately had to cancel a football game because whooping cough, which has been called the 100-day cough for the extended duration of the illness, took them out. Apparently, the symptoms can include coughing fits, fatigue, and labored breathing. And when I saw those things, I was like, oh, yeah, we better cancel this football game because labored breathing is the last thing I want to be doing while playing
when
football.
When you're running?
Yeah, I can't do that.
When you're running around everywhere? I didn't know whooping cough was that bad. I'd heard of it.
Didn't either.
Yeah.
Didn't either. Like, for some reason in my brain, it was just like, it was one of those, like, kind of baby diseases.
Exactly.
Like colic or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, whatever. No. It'll take a football team out. And it did. Portland State had to decide that they were not going to play football this week. So I thought that was an interesting note to see. Also, another interesting note, Wake Forest, mm-hmm. they played Ole Miss, one of your rivals at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And after they took their beating, they immediately said, we are opting out of the
second leg
of the home-and-home. We've seen enough. We don't see this happen ever, but there was a home-and-home situation. And so Wake Forest decided they're supposed to play Ole Miss in 2025. No, we are not. So they will pay $1 million as a cancellation fee after a 40-6 loss on Saturday. I actually kind of applaud them for this.
But there was going to be a home game.
Yeah, I still applaud them for this.
Was curious to me, but why do you applaud them?
Hey, man, just know when you're bested. You know, like, we just don't need this in our lives.
They're not UTSA. All due respect, UTSA has been decent here and there, but maybe a better example, like Louisiana Monroe or something. They're Wake Forest. Like, that's a big-time FBS program.
And yet and still, they were like, no, we're good.
Yeah, we ain't playing.
Yeah, that didn't work out the way we wanted to. We're good on that. Like, sometimes I appreciate, and I say this a lot, I think the quitting is underrated. We've gotten to a place where we never quit. No, sometimes quit.
No, go ahead and get out of that.
Sometimes quit. Sometimes you absolutely should quit. All right, real quick before we go, this was one of those games that you wanted to keep an eye on. I wonder if you did. Colorado State.
I did.
Colorado handled up on Colorado State. It did not look anything like last year.
And they are
Colorado
cocky, State man.
And that's the thing
they
that was amazing.
They are cocky.
How did you get a game with you know, the Colorado and the primetime build and all the things that we've gotten, and Colorado State was the more annoying team? How did that happen?
I don't know how that happened, but it did. And then the other one that was interesting to me is just, I thought Purdue might make things a little difficult on old Notre Dame. And what, they put 60 on them? It was something like that.
Notre Dame was clearly pissed off from the last.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, okay.
Coach was like, y'all boys have these boys breathing down my neck right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Going back to Colorado real quick before we go, Travis Hunter. I mean, just an incredible dude. I mean, he thus far in the season has, let's see, currently ranked second nationally in receptions, receiving touchdowns, and seventh in receiving yards, while, mind you, mm-hmm. being incredible defensively. Like, he's playing like a first-round pick as a wide receiver and a cornerback individually, and yet still, he has a +3,500 to win the Heisman, and he's got worse odds than the likes of Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe. Do you think that's a good long shot pick to take? Because he has just been phenomenal.
I mean, the value is there, and if they start winning some games, you know, more against bigger competition, he'll skyrocket up. I'm just saying, I mean, to me, I don't even need to look at everybody else and do all these breakdowns we do and all that. That's the number one pick in the draft right there.
Yeah.
I'd take him over Shador.
Oh, absolutely. I think, and this isn't a strong quarterback class when mm-hmm. it comes to the draft, but that dude is, like I said, if he was just a wide receiver, first round pick. If he was just a cornerback, first round pick. And I do think that you probably have to have a conversation of if you want to play him both ways. I'm not sure if that's a good idea. I haven't been sold. But mm-hmm. he looks good enough to be able to absolutely do that at that level. There's been only a few times where he's had to tap his helmet and come out. Like, that dude is incredible. Mm-hmm. And even though they might win 4-6 games maybe, it still feels like he's been so damn good against his peers that
he's
he probably
the best football
should be a
player in America.
Player. Yeah. There you go. A little college football on a Tuesday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's get back to the pro football level with your Texans. Clearly not the most impressive win, even though still a fairly impressive win on Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm. The coach says they need to clean up some things. What is the most important thing that you think that the Texans need to clean up? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
Good question.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.